إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم والشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. ثم أما بعد، the prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says: إنما الدنيا لأربعة نفر. In this dunya there's four types of people. Subhanallah. Very powerful hadith, authentic hadith in Tirmidhi, sahih. عَبْدٍ رَزَقَهُ اللَّهُ مَالًا وَعِلْمًا فَهُوَ يَتَّقِي فِيهِ رَبَّهُ. The type of person who, he's a slave of Allah, who is provided with both wealth and knowledge, and he therefore has fear of his Lord, he nurtures the ties of kinship, and he knows that Allah has rights over him, so this is the highest of stations. فَهَذَا بِأَفْضَلِ الْمَنَازِلِ. This is the best and highest of stations. You have both knowledge, you have wealth, that means you want to practice your deen, and you have the ability to do lots with your wealth, and therefore you do good things with your wealth. That's the first station. Number two, وَعَبْدٍ رَزَقَهُ اللَّهُ عِلْمًا وَلَمْ يَرْزُقْهُ مَالًا فَهُوَ صَادِقُ النِّيَّةِ. The slave who, the person who, Allah has provided him with knowledge, he has good intention to do good, but he doesn't have wealth. So he has صَادِقُ النِّيَّةِ, he has a true and honest intention, and he says to himself, if only I had the money like that wealthy person who is doing lots of good things, I would do that too, but I just don't have the means. And because Allah sees how sincere his intention is, the Prophet ﷺ says, فَأَجْرُهُمَا سَوَاءٌ. Their ajr is the same. Subhanallah. Imagine that. You just look up to those people who are wealthy, who are righteous, and they're doing lots of good things with their wealth, and you say, ya Allah, I don't have the money. If I did though, and Allah knows that you're sincere, if I had the money, I would spend, and I would be generous. And because of that, أَجْرُهُمَا سَوَاءٌ. They have the same ajr, because Allah looks at the hearts. Then the third category. وَعَبْدٍ رَزَقَهُ اللَّهُ مَالًا وَلَمْ يَرْزُقْهُ عِلْمًا فَهُوَ يَخْبِطُ فِي مَالِهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. So this is a slave who Allah provides wealth but no knowledge. He has lots of money, but he doesn't have any knowledge of Islam. He doesn't want to practice Islam. So what happens? Because of this, he spends it rashly, without any knowledge, having no taqwa, no fear of his Lord, no consciousness of Allah. He nurtures no ties of kinship, and he doesn't know what Allah's rights are upon him. And so this is the most despicable of stations. فَهَذَا بِأَخْبَثِ الْمَنَازِلِ. This is the worst of stations. And then the fourth, as you can imagine, وَعَبْدٍ لَمْ يَرْزُقْهُ اللَّهُ مَالًا وَلَا عِلْمًا. This is a person, a slave of Allah, who has no knowledge and no wealth. And so as a result, he only looks up to this evil person. He looks up to the one who spends on evil things. And he says, man, I don't have any money, but if I did, I'd waste my money just like that person. I wish I did. Why? I would party like they party. I would be boastful like they're boastful and wasteful and showing off and arrogant. And all the different immorality and excess and partying, all the things that they would do, I wish I could do that too. And so because of that, وِزْرُهُمَا سَوَاءٌ. Because of that, their sin is the same. This hadith, it teaches us something very important. This hadith teaches us a very important principle. What is that principle? That it is not enough to just abstain from evil externally. You have to also abstain and have a distaste for it, and aversion towards it internally as well. Don't just avoid doing evil, you must avoid also admiring that type of evil. And the Prophet ﷺ says in a beautiful hadith, مَنْ أَحَبَّ لِلَّهِ وَأَبْغَضَ لِلَّهِ وَأَعْطَى لِلَّهِ وَمَنَعَ لِلَّهِ فَقَدْ اسْتَكْمَلَ الْإِيمَانِ. That the one who loves and hates for the sake of Allah, the one who gives and withholds for the sake of Allah, that person has reached the perfection of faith. So it's all encompassing. That the things that you love, which are good, that is for the sake of Allah. And when you see evil, you have a distaste towards it, that is for the sake of Allah as well. So the question that should be on all of our minds, how can I attain this state? I know that number one, I have to stay away from evil deeds, but what if it is the case that, fine, I abstain from evil, but when I see it, I can't help but have a little bit of an attraction towards it. In my heart, I'm still attracted towards it. What is the cure? I would say number one, true and sincere repentance. And this is delivered to us from the story of Musa alayhi salam. We all know that Musa alayhi salam, he struck a guard and accidentally took his life. And he repented from that. Such a sincere repentance that he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted it. And when Allah accepted his repentance, he said, فَقَالَ رَبِّي بِمَا أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيَّ فَلَنْ أَكُونَ ظَهِيرًا لِلْمُجْرِمِينَ Musa alayhi salam says, what? My Lord, for the favor that you have bestowed upon me, I will never assist another criminal. What is this implying? This is implying beyond saying, so what you would expect is that he says, oh Allah, I did a crime. And because I did that crime and I feel so remorseful, oh Allah, I will never do another crime. That's what we expect. But instead he says, I'll take it a step further. Not only will I never do another crime like this again, but I will never be an assistant. I will never be in a crowd. I will never be admiring. I will never be even smiling at the news of somebody else committing any sort of crime. I will never assist it in any way whatsoever. This is true repentance. When you've done a certain evil and you feel so remorseful that you don't want to engage in it, but you don't even want to have any sort of good feeling towards anybody doing it either. And this we should think about within our own lives. For instance, let's say people are doing something evil and you say, well, I don't do those deeds, but I go on their website and I watch what they do and I see what they do. Well, aren't you giving traffic to that website? Isn't that in some way support, even if it's in a small way? If you are watching those videos, aren't you giving views to those videos? Even if the video has a million views and you made it a million in one, you say, oh, it's so negligible. Don't look at it from that perspective. It's not negligible because it's still assistance towards evil. It's still showing your admiration towards it. It's still showing that you have a place for that in your heart. And instead of just looking at the smallness of the deed, instead think to yourself, what type of a person could I be if I could remove that admiration for evil in my heart and replace it with admiration for good? What if instead I was watching something better? What if I was learning something? What if I was admiring someone who was generous or kind or someone who was doing some kind of good? That small amount of admiration in the right direction instead of the wrong direction, it could make a big difference. Because that admiration towards good might then result in what? It might result in you actually doing those same good deeds. And then encouraging others, and so on and so forth. A good snowball effect could take place. Allah knows best. So yes, number one, we want to have a true repentance from any sort of evil. Number two, we should know that the punishment from Allah could come in this world. And this is described in the story that we read about Thamud, Salih alayhi salam, and his people, Thamud. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent them a miracle. They requested their prophet. Their prophet was calling them to good deeds and to repent from their evil ways. And they said, how do we know you're a prophet? Show us a miracle. And they were given a miracle. This great huge naqah, huge camel came out of the rocks just to show Allah's great power. And they were so angry at this. They were so frustrated by this that they wanted to kill the miracle. Imagine that level of arrogance and disdain and hatred towards any sort of good. They're so frustrated that you've been proven wrong that you literally want to destroy and kill a miracle. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them by saying, فَكَذَّبُوهُ فَعَقَرُوهَا. Allah uses the plural. They denied him, as in they denied the messenger, and they hamstrung the camel. Her. They hamstrung the camel and killed it. فَدَمْدَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِذَنْبِهِمْ فَسَوَّاهَا. So Allah destroyed them and made them all equal. This is a fascinating ayah. Why? Because we know that only one person actually committed the crime. We know that it was their leader, Qudar ibn Salif, who was the one who actually went and slaughtered the animal. And yet Allah uses the language, فَعَقَرُوهَا. They, plural, all did it. Why? The idea here is because some were proactive, others were complicit, and thus all were accountable. This is the idea. That they were complicit, they were happy with it. Even if they didn't do it themselves, they were around, they heard about it, they knew about it. Or maybe they didn't hear about it, but when they did hear about it, they were okay with it. All of this meant that what? Those who were believers, those who believed in Salih alayhi salam, they left the city and they were told, you have 3 days to repent, and if you don't, Allah's punishment is going to come on you. They didn't repent, they were happy with what had happened, and therefore, فَسَوَّاهَا, Allah made them all equal. The one who did it and those who were just approving of it, they were all equal. وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقُبَاهَا, and Allah doesn't fear any sort of reproach, any sort of consequences. Allah doesn't fear the blame from anybody, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't fear any sort of payback. Why? Nobody can attack Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and nobody can even blame from a moral perspective. Why? Because Allah knows the hearts, and Allah knows exactly how to give out punishment. Same thing could be said about the third encouragement that we should have. We should truly repent. We should be afraid of Allah's punishment in this life and in the next life. As Allah tells us what? وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارُ وَمَا لَكُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ مِنْ أَوْلِيَاءَ ثُمَّ لَا تُنْصَرُونَ. Allah says, don't incline towards those who do evil or those who do oppression. Don't even incline towards it. Why? You might be touched by the fire in the next life. Subhanallah. What a scary ayah. What about those who are actually doing the oppression? What about those who are engaged in evil? Then they will definitely not just be touched, but the implication here is that they will burn and they will be punished harshly. But those who even admired it, those who in their hearts approved of it, those who felt good about it, Allah is saying they will be touched. Maybe for a short while, maybe for a long while, Allah knows. But the point is that you will be taken to task. Why? When it says, وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا, when you look at the tafsir, it says, don't incline, implies what? Don't be pleased with those deeds. Don't accept their actions in your heart. Don't be comfortable around it, seeing it or hearing it, etc. You have to have a disdain towards evil. And this, again, we see this in the story of Musa alayhi salam. We see this in the story of Thamud with Salih alayhi salam. And we even see it with Lut alayhi salam and his wife. With the story of Lut alayhi salam, Allah tells Lut alayhi salam, فَأَسْرِ بِأَهْلِكَ بِقِطْعٍ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ وَلَا يَلْتَفِتْ مِنْكُمْ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا امْرَأَتَكَ إِنَّهُ مُصِيبُهَا مَا أَصَابَهُمْ. So set out you and your family during a portion of the night, and let not anyone from among you look back. Right, we all know that Lut alayhi salam and his family, they left and they were told nobody looked back except his wife did. We know that she looked back. And the idea is not that she was just it wasn't about just a brief glance. The glance implies more than that. It implies that her heart was attached. It implies that's where her heart inclined towards. That even though she was never, Ibn Taymiyyah, he writes a very interesting comment. Whoever is pleased with the deeds of a people will be gathered with them on Judgment Day. Just as the wife of Lut alayhi salam was gathered with their people, despite the fact that she didn't engage in their actions. This is the idea, that she was pleased with that type of action, and therefore she was punished with them. And this is what Allah says, فَأَنْجَيْنَاهُ أَهْلَهُ إِلَّا امْرَأَتَهُ قَدَّرْنَاهَا مِنَ الْغَابِرِينَ. قَدَّرْنَا, that Allah says that we considered her, or we destined her, or she was estimated or appraised to be just like them. Why? Not because of her actions, but because her heart inclined towards this. So we need to remember the very important words of the Prophet ﷺ, مَنْ رَأَى مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِهِ وَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِلِسَانِهِ وَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِقَلْبِهِ وَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. The Prophet ﷺ says that if you see an evil, imagine people just get up and start fighting right now. An evil, division, hatred, violence, whatever it is, you see this evil, then you should, as a believer, stop it with your hands. Get in between. Guys, cut it out. Make it stop with your hands. If you cannot, then at least say a word. Stop fighting. What's wrong with you? This is evil. This is wrong. You shouldn't be doing this. And the weakest of faith is the one who what? At least hates it in his heart. Maybe he didn't say anything, maybe he didn't do anything, but at least he knew it was wrong. So then the question is, what about the one who approves of it? What about the one who goes online and watches those evils? What about the one who laughs at it and finds it funny? What about the one who it gets entertained by evil? Maybe that person's even lower than adhaful iman. He's lower than the weakest of faith. What does that mean? Maybe there's no faith whatsoever. He's a Muslim, but maybe he's lost the status of mu'min. Maybe his faith is on pause. Allah knows best what that person's status is. But it's a very scary hadith. And so we should always, nobody wants to aim to be the lowest. Nobody is saying to themselves, you know, iman is important, so I want to be the weakest of faith. No, you aim higher than that. So inshallah ta'ala, in not, beyond just disliking it, we should try to speak out against evil when we see it, so on and so forth. And inshallah ta'ala, I'll continue in the second khutbah. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasmin kathira. Bismillah, bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. Now, it's even possible that a person who engages in an evil lifestyle in the end will be better off than the one who admires it from a distance. Now, let me be very, very clear. I'm not encouraging anybody to go out and do the deeds that you've been admiring. I'm not telling you that, oh, if you've been watching certain television shows about violence, go ahead and be violent. I'm not saying if you watch certain shows about, I don't know, clubbing or drinking or doing drugs, that, oh, go ahead and engage in it. I'm not encouraging you to do that. But what I am saying is, let's be realistic for a moment. It is possible that a person who lives, let's say, the most vile, self-indulgent, hedonistic lifestyle, let's say he spends 1 year trying to live the most haram possible. He's getting drunk all the time, getting into fights, maybe stealing, trying to womanize, partying, everything you can think of, doing all sorts of drugs, for one full year tries to max out. I'm sure we can all imagine that such a person, by the end of that year, will be so beat up. Their brain will be hurting. Their relationships will be cut off. They will have no money. They will have destroyed any potential they have at work, and so on and so forth. They will have ruined their lives so badly that by the end of that year, they might, inshallah, God willing, they will repent. Such a sincere repentance that they will say, I never want to look back at that lifestyle ever again. So 1 year of so much evil, and then you see after that a full lifetime of sincere repentance. Where if somebody says, oh, they had a party, you have to see the pictures on Facebook. I don't care. I couldn't care less. I know that lifestyle. I lived that lifestyle. I experienced it plenty. It's disgusting to me. I don't want to see the pictures. I don't want to watch the movie. I don't want to watch the show. I couldn't care less. Why? Because they tasted the reality of it. So 1 year of lots of evil, and then a lifetime of repentance and not even looking towards it. Versus, it's possible that a person, and again, it's a possibility, that somebody, what they do is, they admire it from a distance. And they always fantasize about, oh, I watch these shows about this and these movies about that, and I fantasize about living this terrible lifestyle. They never engage in it, so they never taste the reality of it. They never see the consequences of it. And so instead of just admiring it for 1 year only, they spend year after year, they spend a whole lifestyle watching these types of movies, listening to this kind of music, engaging in that kind of entertainment, and admiring it from a distance, admiring it from online, and so on and so forth. So when you add it all up, 1 year, which was bad, but at least a full lifetime of good, it's better than a lifetime of admiring from a distance. Again, I'm not saying I want anybody to engage that lifestyle, but I am saying be realistic. Be realistic and recognize that admiring from a distance actually might have very terrible consequences. So don't think that, well, I never do it. I mean, I just watch it. I just like the show. What, it's a good show. But no, it could be actually having a worse effect. A second issue that comes up as a question is that some people might say, if I have this attitude of disdain and aversion towards evil, and I live in a society that is full of so much evil, isn't it the case that I'm going to be walking around angry all the time? And by the way, there are some people that are like this. It's true. It happens sometimes that some people, they embrace Islam, or they were Muslim, they were not practicing, they become practicing, and then they walk around with this sort of, you know, scowl on their face, looking at everybody like, oh, you're engaged in haram, and you're doing, what you're doing is wrong, and what you're doing is wrong. It's true that that can become a very negative side effect. So what is the cure to that? Number one, recognize that the person who is walking around like that, in my experience, usually they grow out of it. Usually it just lasts for a short time while they're trying to train themselves. They lived a certain evil lifestyle, now they change their ways, and they're trying to constantly train their heart and their mind to dislike it, so they're saying, oh, I have hatred towards that. And they speak harsh words, and they have a scowling face, but they're just trying to change their own inclinations. And after about a year, they tend to mature in their faith, and now they have a little bit more of a positive outlook in life. So be a bit patient with the recent convert, or the one who's just engaging in Islam. If he seems a little bit too tough and overzealous, give him some time, inshallah, he will mature, inshallah. The second thing I'd like to say is that the objective is not to be angry all the time and to be pointing at evil all the time. The objective is to try to see the good in whatever you can, even if it's few and far between. So if you are engaged with somebody at work who likes to be involved in all kinds of haram, impermissible activities, let's be realistic. A human being is complex. A human being is not, singular, only has one dimension. No, multidimensional, very multifaceted, complex as a human being. And therefore, it's possible that yes, what they show outwardly is certain illicit behavior, certain haram actions. But at the same time, maybe it's possible that you can abstain when they are engaged in those things and then try to see the good in them and try to talk about the good in them and try to find those good qualities and really try to highlight that when you are around that individual. The objective is not to be angry or self-righteous or judgmental or always scowling at everybody. That's not the objective. The objective is to be sincere and say, I don't approve of evil, but at the same time, you have multiple qualities of perhaps evil and perhaps good. You're a human being. You're very complex. And so I'm going to try to highlight the good, inshallah ta'ala. That's the objective. And so we should always remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's description of the believers, the sahaba, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Allah says, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانَ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ وَكَرَّهَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْعِصْيَانَ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الرَّاشِدُونَ. That Allah says what? Allah describes that Allah has endeared and made beloved to them iman and faith, and has زَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ, and has beautified it in their hearts. And what? وَكَرَّهَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْعِصْيَانَ, and made distasteful to them, made hateful towards them what? Kufr, which is the worst, disbelief in Allah. وَالْفُسُوقَ is representing what? Major sins, outright open sins. And وَالْعِصْيَانَ is smaller sins, the minor sins. So whether it be the worst of the worst, or lesser than that, or even less than that, that the believers are such that they have a disdain for evil on all levels, and they have love for iman, and is beautified in their hearts. So we all have to ask ourselves this very, perhaps tough question. Are you becoming less and less drawn towards the cinema and more drawn towards the masjid? Inshallah, hopefully you are. Do you find the hijab more and more beautiful and lewd and revealing clothing less beautiful? Are you finding the hijab more beautiful than revealing clothing? Are you finding yourself anticipating the month of Ramadan instead of dreading it? And so on and so on and so forth. If the answer is yes, then inshallah ta'ala, you are included in this ayah when Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الرَّاشِدُونَ. You are those who are on the straight path. You are those who are guided. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of the Rashidun. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma ahdina fi man hadayt, wa'afina fi man afayt, wa tawallana fi man tawallayt, wa barik lana fi ma a'tayt, wa qina sharra ma qadayt, fa innaka taqdi wa la yuqda alayk, innahu la yadhillu man walayt, wa la ya'izzu man adayt, tabarakta rabbana wa ta'alayt. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana, wa fil akhirati hasana, wa qina adhaban nar. Wa sallallahu على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. وأقم الصلاة.